I entitled my sermon today, Puzzled by God's Gift. A few years ago, on the America's Funniest Home Videos, some of you watch those, some of them are funny, but some of them are really painful, all right, to even watch. And so there was a young boy that was shown on Christmas morning. And what do kids do on Christmas morning? Kids, what do you do? Wake up early, why? Oh, open presents, yeah. You guys like that, don't you? Or you hate that? You love that. So this kid woke up early in the morning, and the parents were making a video, and he came down to see a large present beside the tree, and he ran over and started tearing open to see what was inside, and the paper was flying everywhere. And he, when he opened the gift, he broke down in dance and started jumping around, running back and forth in the room, saying, "Wow, just what I wanted. I really like this thing. Wow." After a while, he went over to look at the gift again and said with a puzzled look on his face, "What is it?" You probably got some of those gifts that you open and he was like, "What is it?" Now, when Jesus was born, the angels announced the birth of the new child. The heavens were opened, and all the company of heaven broke into praise. And shepherds were so confused that they went racing to Bethlehem to see, what is this all about? What is it? And for 2,000 years now, we have been jumping up and down saying just what I wanted, exactly what I needed. But in the next breath, we look again inside the stable and ask, what is it? Who is this child? We are puzzled by God's gift. And this describes the experience of many Christians today. We are amazed and puzzled by God's gift at the same time. Now, looking at the Bible, even the mother of Jesus went through the same experience when she found out about Christ's birth. I want you to open with me in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. So we look at her experience here. The Bible tells us that Mary conceived from the Holy Spirit. Now, go figure this one out. I mean, many people have tried, but they haven't succeeded. They're still asking, what kind of stuff is this? They're still confused about this. Because a virgin conception makes no logical human sense, right? There is no explanation for that. And so many people are still puzzled by that. But Mary was definitely puzzled when the angel came to her to announce the birth of Jesus. I think any young woman would be perplexed hearing such things. So Luke 1 verse 31, Gabriel comes to Mary and he tells her in verse 31, and behold, you will what? Conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Imagine the look on Mary's face. Just picture Mary, a young lady. And she responds in verse 34, probably with a very puzzled look on her face. And she says in verse 34, how can this be since I do not know a man? So she was very puzzled by this. She was confused. How can all this be? One of my favorite songs that is sung about the birth of Jesus Christ is actually the special music today, Mary, Did You Know? I didn't know that you guys were going to sing that. I haven't heard it this, you know, time around, but I love this song. First time I heard it, I remember I was at CUC my first year in Canada, and two guys from California came and they sung that song. And the melody and the words spoke to me for some reason. I love this song, all right? It has such a great message. This song is written as a question to Mary, if she knew who this child was going to be. Now, Mary probably knew some of the things because the angel told her, but she didn't know all the details about Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, who can understand the divine things of God? We can't. Who can understand the incarnation? we can't really comprehend that. Those things that are puzzling us. Even though she was puzzled and perplexed, and she could not understand everything, she responded this way, and that's found in Luke 1, verse 38. What was her response? She was confused about all the situation, but what did she say? "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." What a response, isn't it? Even though she could not understand everything, she still trusted God. Amen? She still trusted God. Now, sometimes we are puzzled and perplexed in our Christian experience. We face challenges and circumstances that we cannot explain. We face things in our lives that we have no idea how to deal with. The story of Mary teaches us an amazing lesson of trust. Can you, when you face challenging times, when you face puzzling circumstances, can you say like Mary, "Lord, let it be to me according to your word"? Can you say that? This is something for us to learn from Mary's experience. I can understand Mary's puzzled reaction to Angel Gabriel when he told her about birth of Christ. And I also can understand the puzzled reactions of the shepherds. Remember, they were afraid and they were puzzled. What is happening? All this light and angels. What is happening? What is this? I can understand that. But after over 2,000 years, many of us still have the same puzzled reaction to the birth of Christ. We are not sure what to do with this amazing gift that God gave us in the form of Jesus Christ. We're still confused whether we want to keep this gift, where we want to re-gift it or return it. We still don't know what we want with Jesus. So what is your reaction to God's gift of His Son? How do you react to God's gift of His Son? Now, when we talk about gifts, there is one incident in the story of Christ's birth that mentions gifts, and we read that in our scripture reading this morning. The gifts of the Magi, and we can go back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Sorry, Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. When you read here, we look at this Magi's gifts. Have you ever wondered what kind of gifts are these? When you look at these gifts, gold, frankincense, or myrrh, now, ladies, any of you would go or would bring such gifts to a baby shower? Probably, I mean, maybe gold, that would be okay. But I was thinking frankincense and myrrh, what kind of gift is that to a child? You know, bring some diapers, some clothes, some toys, or baby formula, or something like that. But what kind of gifts are these for a baby? You know, when you look at these gifts, you probably have the same reaction, and you ask, "What is this?" You're puzzled. While some believe that these gifts were of a practical nature, it is most likely that they were given for a symbolic reason. All right? And let's look at these three gifts and what they mean. All these three gifts actually foreshadow the life of Jesus Christ to come. All right? And they announce all of these gifts actually also show what He's going to accomplish for us through His mission and through His sacrifice. So let's look at this quickly. Gold is a typical gift for whom? For a king, right? So the gold represents kingship and royalty. So it represents Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Magi, when they presented that gift to Jesus, they declared that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is royalty. But gold also reminds us how Jesus Christ has provided a way that we might be exalted as well. So it's not just what He's going to be, but also what He's doing for us. All who follow Jesus Christ and endure to the end, the Bible says, will receive what? The crowns of righteousness. And we read in Revelation 3:21, we find the promise, To him who overcomes, it says there, I will what? Grant to sit where? On the throne. On the throne. He says, Jesus says, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Who is sitting on the throne? A king is sitting on the throne. So what Jesus is saying here, when the Magi presented this gift, they announced and declared that Jesus is the King of Kings, but also it's what Jesus is doing for us in our lives. He is exalting us. And if we overcome, we will sit on his throne as well and will be kings to our God and to our Father. The second gift, frankincense, comes from a very sweet tree, raisin, and was used in priesthood ordinances, in burnt offerings, only with the priesthood, and sometimes was used as oil for anointing priests, all right? So frankincense points symbolically to Jesus as the high priest. So we have Jesus symbolized by gold, he's going to be King of Kings. Now we have the frankincense symbolizes his being the high priest. But it also symbolizes and shows him to be the Lamb of God who is going to be sacrificed for us. Now, frankincense reminds us of the Savior's gift of love, a love that was powerful enough for Jesus to lay down his life for us. That's what Jesus did, and that's what frankincense symbolizes. The third gift is the myrrh. Do you know what myrrh is associated in the Bible with, what it was used for? Embalming, yes. Burial. Because of its preservative qualities, all right? And so, what does this mean? When the Magi presented this gift to the parents, probably they wonder, why do you guys bring to us myrrh, all right? Gold we can understand, maybe frankincense, but myrrh, why presenting it to a little baby? Well, this was symbolizing and showing ahead, foreshadowing Christ's death on the cross. It showed that he will be sacrificed, he will die on the cross, and he will suffer the death on the cross. So as the Magi brought gifts to Jesus, we see that they gave these gifts to Jesus, symbolizing his life, but also what Jesus is doing for us in our lives. If Jesus died on the cross, what are we supposed to do every day in our lives? To take up the cross and follow Jesus in dying to self each and every day. Now, even though the gifts of the Magi might be puzzling in the beginning, when we really understand their symbolism, we only then see their value. So what can you bring to Jesus today? What is your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh? 1 Peter 1:7 says that gold is what? Our faith refined in the fire. So as a gift to Jesus during this time of the year and throughout the year, you can bring what? Your faith, because that's the gold. Frankincense is our sacrifice to God. And Romans 12 verse 1 says that we need to present what? Our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now myrrh represents our dying to self. Jesus says that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross. In other words, he says we need to die to self daily. Now, it's interesting that the death of Christ was accompanied by a lot of suffering, right? Do you think that when we die to self, that will be accompanied with a lot of suffering in our lives too? Absolutely. Sometimes we don't like the part of the suffering, but dying to self comes with the suffering. And so what can you give to Jesus today? What kind of gifts you can give him today? You can bring him your faith, your bodies, your life. With all the suffering we endure, and even that suffering is a gift to Jesus Christ, because through that suffering we accomplish our salvation. So what have you given to Jesus during this time when we celebrate his birth? Ellen White says in Review and Herald, December 26, 1882, and now we talk a lot about, and I will mention a little bit later about this, we as Adventists have a problem how much of Christmas stuff can we do and cannot do, all right? Every Christmas, I have people coming and asking me questions. Is it okay to celebrate Christmas? Is it okay to put a tree? Is it okay to give gifts? I get those questions every year, all right? And so I'm going to deal with a little bit of that. I'm not going to go in details about that, but I thought it's important because I just had people ask me those questions. But listen to what Ellen White says in this interesting quote. Review and Herald, December 26, 1882. The holiday season is fast approaching with its interchange of gifts, and old and young are intently studying what they can bestow upon their friends as a token of affectionate remembrance. All right? It is pleasant to receive a gift, isn't it? However, pleasant to receive a gift, however small, from those we love. It is an assurance that we are not forgotten and seems to bind us to them a little closer. While urging upon all the duty of first bringing their offerings to God, I would not wholly condemn the practice of making Christmas and New Year's gifts to our friends. So she says, your first duty is to bring your gifts to whom? To God. It's unfortunate that a lot of us forget that part. It's unfortunate that we first jump to buy for every uncle and aunt and grandfather and grandmother for all our kids, and we think of God last. But, you know, she says, after we have given our first gift and offered it to God, she says, I would not condemn the practice of making Christmas and New Year gifts to our friends and family. It is right to bestow upon one another tokens of love and remembrance if we do not in this forget God, our best friend. We should make our gifts such as will provide a real benefit to the receiver, all right? Don't re-gift some candies and chocolates that you have at home just quickly because they gave you a gift and you just, you know what I'm talking about. You've done it every year probably. We should make our gifts such as will provide a real benefit to the receiver. And she continues there. She talks about all the things that you can do to give a gift. I'm not going to go into those details. And she concludes that paragraph a little bit down lower. She says, we need to think more of God and less of ourselves. That's what Christmas is all about. Unfortunately, it has become thinking more about myself than thinking about God. When we think more of God, we will start thinking more of others. And that is what Christmas should be all about. But not in a traditional, you know, gift-giving way that we're all accustomed to. I don't want to say, well, I think about others, I'm going to give them some chocolates. All right? That's not the way to do it. Something meaningful. Let me explain you by telling a real story, I found this, of a family. They had a very interesting tradition about Christmas gift giving, all right? I think this is what God expects us to do during this time of the year. One Christmas, this was a Christian family, they had three kids. One Christmas, they woke up in the morning, and beside all the gifts that they found under the tree, there was a white envelope stuck among the branches, all right? And no name, no identification, no inscription, no nothing, just a white envelope. Now, it has peeked through the branches of this family's Christmas tree for 10 years since then. They've been doing it every year. But how did this tradition begin? Well, it all began because Mike, the husband, really hated Christmas. Not in the sense that he hated the meaning of Christmas, the birth of Christ. He hated all this commercial aspect of it. Probably I can identify with him, all right? You know, he hated this overspending, the frantic running around at the last minute to get a gift for a family member. You know what I'm talking about, right? He really hated that. And knowing that he felt this way, His wife decided this year to bypass the usual gifts like the shirts, the sweaters, ties, and so on and so forth that we guys get at Christmas, right? So she decided to bypass that, and she came up with a different idea. The inspiration for this gift came a very unusual way. Her son, Kevin, he was 12 years old that year, was wrestling at the junior level at the school he attended. He was a wrestler. And shortly before Christmas, there was a non-league match against a team sponsored by our inner city church. And this team was very poor, all right? Didn't have the gear, appropriate gear for wrestling. You know, these youngsters dressed in sneakers so ragged that shoestrings seemed to be the only thing holding them together. You know, they were very poor. And they present a very sharp contrast to the team that Kevin was on. These guys were in a nice outfit, you know, they were with shoes and the gear. Those kids from the other team didn't even have the headgear. You know, the wrestlers have headgear to protect, you know, their ears and stuff like that. They didn't have anything like that. And so the other team was dressed up and stuff like that. So, of course, Kevin's team won every match in every weight category. They just beat them so badly. And Mike, the father, was sitting there beside his wife, and he shook his head sadly and said, "I wish just one of them could have won at least one game, I mean, one match. They have a lot of potential," he says, "but losing like this could take the heart right out of them." That's when the idea for this present came to his wife. That afternoon, Mike's wife went to a local sporting goods store and bought an assortment of wrestling headgear and shoes and sent them anonymously to this inner city church, all right, to this team. So on Christmas Eve, what she did, she wrote a note about what she has done and put it in this white envelope, and that's how the envelope landed on the tree on that Christmas Eve. So that evening, when she opened the envelope, of course, the kids were puzzled and confused. What is this envelope there? So she opened the envelope and she read the note what she did to this team. You should see the smile on the face of her husband, of Mike's face. The biggest smile, she said, ever at Christmas. She's never seen such a smile on his face. He was so happy to hear about the gift that he is getting. Did he even get a gift? No, he didn't really get a gift. But to him, what his wife did to help others was the best gift ever. It got a big smile on his face. Now, for each Christmas afterwards, Mike's wife followed up the tradition. Every year, she would do a project, and then she would write a note and put it in the white envelope. The white envelope became the highlight of that Christmas Eve, you know, a Christmas day when they opened the gifts. You know, one year, she helped a family of mentally handicapped youngsters to a hockey game, for a hockey game. And another year, she bought a pair of clothes and everything for some elderly brothers whose house just burned down a week before Christmas. So she was doing it every year, and she would give that as a gift to her husband. Now, as I said, the envelope became the highlight of their Christmas. It was always the last thing open on Christmas morning, and their children, they would ignore their own toys and wait for mom to open the white envelope. They didn't care about those gifts every year. And when they would open the gift, it would be that great, great thing that the mother did for someone to help them in their time of need. And that would bring a smile to Mike and to the children. Now, the story doesn't end there. Unfortunately, Mike passed away due to a dreaded cancer a few years later, okay? And when Christmas rolled around that year, Mike's wife was still so wrapped up in grief that she couldn't even put up the tree. She just found some strength to put just the tree, no toys, no nothing on the tree, no ornaments. And even though she couldn't muster up a lot of strength to put ornaments in the house and decorate the house, she still found some time to do a good deed for someone, and she put the white envelope on the tree right that Christmas Eve, okay? In the morning when they came to the tree, there were three other envelopes. All three children, unbeknown to others, did something in honor of their father and put an envelope in the tree. So there were four white envelopes on the tree that year to show appreciation for their dad. And in his honor, they knew that that would bring a smile to their dad, doing something for others. That is the greatest gift you can give to anyone at Christmas time. This is what Jesus did for us, didn't he? He gave himself for us as a gift to us so that we can have eternal life. This is what Christmas is all about. The gift of Jesus Christ to humanity is the gift in the white envelope. This gift shows what heaven did for us. The Father receives the joy from seeing everyone benefiting from this gift and enjoying, and the God the Father has a smile every time when he sees that. Wouldn't you want to put a smile on the Father's face? But God the Father also receives joys when we do kind things to others. He loves those types of gifts. So I encourage you this Christmas season, let us give those gifts to everyone around us. Make sure, I'm not sure if you still have a time to put a white envelope on your Christmas tree. That would be nice if that becomes a tradition in your home. To do something nice. Not just buy gifts for each other, but do something nice to those who are in need. Now let me conclude with this. When I came to Canada over 23 years ago, the first time I encountered Christmas, and I know I'm going to speak to a lot of people here today because a lot of you are coming to this country and learning a lot of new things. I encountered Christmas in this country the first time. Let me tell you, I was really puzzled. I was really confused. And some of you will identify with me, those who come from different countries to this country, especially those who have never celebrated Christmas back in their country. I've never done it before, okay? And first year was very, I was baffled by all the traditions and really perplexed by all the Christians celebrating Christmas. I was perplexed. I was puzzled. I never experienced that in my life before. So I was puzzled and I was asking myself a question. What is this? What are these guys doing? Why are they doing this? And I know that many of you go through the same experience even right now because you're asking me the questions. As most of you probably had done it before, I, as a good scholar, went and did my research and found proof that this is a pagan celebration. I did find the proof. And everything should be thrown out of the window. I concluded to myself when I did the research, like many of you probably, that this is a wrong date and it is a pagan date, so we must not fall into paganism, so scrap all this stuff. Some of you probably are there today. Now, the date is wrong, okay? There is no discussion about this. The date is wrong. You can't prove anything with the date, and that's not the point. But the fact remains that Jesus was born, amen? The fact remains, we can't deny that. He was born on this earth. I'm not defending celebrating Christmas today. I'm not. I'm not speaking about celebrating Christmas. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to reason with you and tell you my experience, what I went through, okay? And my perplexity and my puzzlement when I came to this country. Maybe that will help you a little bit. You know, that's your decision to make, whether you want to do anything about this or not. And understand me very clearly, Christmas is not a doctrinal issue, all right? It's up to you to decide what you want to do with that, all right? And so, what I'm trying to talk to you about, I was still puzzled by many things. I'm still puzzled today and, you know, I'm confused about many things that happen around Christmas. I didn't get over all of them. But what I'm trying to do today is to encourage some of you that are in the same boat to see from a different perspective. without falling in one or the other extreme, because it's so easy to fall into an extreme about these kind of things. When you have a doctrinal issue, it's black and white, it's there. When you have one of these disputable issues, we can fall into one or the other extreme because it's not there, we don't really know, we have to research for ourselves. So without falling into any of those extremes, we need to look at this time when we can celebrate the birth of Christ as the event, not as the date. Hear me very clearly. This is what I mean. We are not celebrating Christ's birthday, the date. We're celebrating his birth, the event. The event is important. The date is not. It happens around this time of the year because everyone celebrates. Try to celebrate Christmas in, I mean, they say Christmas in July now too, right? For some reason, but that's all commercial stuff. To sell more stuff. But it's just when people celebrate. So if you celebrate with this perspective in mind, the birth, not the date, I think it will change the way you approach this. Now, even though we might still be confused about many things associated with Christmas, and I am confused and I am puzzled about many things still, there is one thing that I said I'm not puzzled or confused about at all. I'm certain, 100%, 1,000%, that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. Amen? Amen? I'm certain about that. That's all I can say. The rest is up to you to decide. All right? And I can give you a lot of material on one side or the other. I can provide you a lot of quotes from one side or the other. All right? But it's up to you to make the decision how you approach this time of the year. With what attitude and from what perspective you approach this time of the year. You know, at first, we might be puzzled by Jesus, the gift that God gave to us. But as we really get to know him, as we open that gift, as we get to know Jesus, our perplexity will turn into joy, into amazement, and into gratitude. You might be puzzled in the beginning, but as you get to know Jesus, everything will change. So during this time of the year, this is what I encourage you to do. Focus on the gift, on Jesus Christ. Focus on that. And all the puzzling things will vanish away, I promise you. You know, those who are really troubling you at this time and you're really confused about, if you focus on Christ, the gift, those things will go away. And we will all be able to say the following thing. Thank you, Father, for your amazing gift. May God bless you. Amen.